I say hallelujah. If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to open with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews, chapter number 10. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. In verse number 23, say, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. This is the word that I believe the writer of the book of Hebrew was writing to ask you and me and himself to do something that is worth doing and something that will bring benefit to each and every one of us. So in his writing he said, let us hold fast to the things we talk in our faith talk. The profession there is not the job you do, is the word you are talking. Base, word based on what was promised to you. You see, because the man who promised is faithful. You know, if somebody, an uncle of yours, a cousin or father, mother, call you and say, son, next week I will give you 200,000. One of the things that we would do is to go to the store. The things we have always wanted to buy. And tell the man at the store and said, well, how much is this thing again? No, I forgot it. And then we price it. We bargain, telling them what we're going to pay. And finally said, I beg, keep them. I beg, keep them. Because next week, the money I'm expecting, it will get to my hand. And I'll come back here and I'll carry it. I'll pay you. I beg. Keep up. How many of you have done that kind of thing? You're expecting money and based on your expectation have gone and boldly tell the man selling things and asking him to keep it and telling him that money will come and you're coming to come and collect the thing. How many of you have said that at any time? But do you also know that some of us who have made that kind of profession also have had some disappointment? The thing did not come like we thought it would come. How many of you have also had that kind of experience? And also, the third thing is, you also know that based on that disappointment, some also now, when they are promised a thing, they hold it with a pinch of salt. So when they are meant to go price something or say something so somebody else, they are cautioned. I don't want to, let me just wait. I don't have to give testimony because maybe after I've given testimony and the thing didn't come to pass, I wouldn't be ashamed. How many of us have also experienced that kind of a thing too? All right. Let's go now to Genesis. Genesis number 15. Genesis chapter number 15. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Don't say that. Don't make that commitment. Because there is he that shall come forth out of thy own bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Behold now towards the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. That is a very strange thing. Here is a man, you know the story, have no one single child. He didn't even give birth to one who have no one eye and one leg. They didn't have. He had just boasted to somebody who tried to bless him. And he said, I don't take that kind of thing. I have lifted up my hands to God. He will take care of me. In chapter 14. And after he says that and walked away from the man, that night God visited him in a vision and said, Abram, I'm going to bless you. And Abram said, Are these? I've been wanting to discuss this issue with you. I've been going through life and nothing has been happening, and life has been difficult, and I'm really proposing to do this because there's a boy born in my house, and I'm trying to make now so that he inherit my property when I die. And God said to him, No. It's too early to do that, to make such plan. I'm going to bless you. You're going to be blessed. And the Bible said he took him out and said, You look up. I'm sure it was night because you can't see stars in the daytime. And said, Look up. He saw, he said, You count the stars. And he said, That is how I'm going to bless you. You'll be so blessed with the mount of the stars in the sky. And then he said, You know, this thing, I don't know about all of this and all of that. Okay. Then he now go back to God and said to God in verse number 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall really inherit the things you are talking about? Funny enough, God said to him, Give me an offering. Give me good offering. Because when I look at the scripture, God asked him to give him something. And you know, God again specifically told him the things he was supposed to give. And one of the first he said was anaphia. Anaphia is, they make a big word out of it. You would have just called it what it is. It's a cow. Anaphia is what? Huh? A cow. And cows are not cheap, because he said the many years it should be, the kind you are given. And I think he said about 1 year old. 3 years old. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that 3 years old cow is big enough to eat? Very big, our brother said. 3 years old cow is really huge. And almost everything he asked for were of the same age. So which means they are big. I would think that a 3 years old cow today would cost as much as 100,000+. 200. If I had come to the church this morning and I'm asking each one who have a need to give 200,000, will you not leave? Some will leave this area and said, Emoego, money too much for your head. True of us. True. But I had the testimony. I had the testimony a few months ago. I think about a month and a half ago. There's one of my friends that you all know, Bishop John Osauni. He has a pastor who have been pastoring with him for ever since they started their ministry 25 years ago. This guy have been pastoring with him. It's one of the, is it director you call them in, what do you call it? This Lagos State Polytechnic or something? There's a polytechnic in Lagos. What do you call it? Yaba Tech or something? Yeah, Yaba Tech. It's not Lagos. It says Yaba Tech. He's one of the Oga engineer in the place. They've been married for that long. I know them for a long time. No issue at all. So few years ago, they said to this man, who is a pastor also, in one of their branch. In fact, in the branch that this man is pastoring, some of the member, because they knew he has been pastoring them for quite some time, and not only has he been pastoring, they also know that the man doesn't have a child. And some said, how can I want an empty hand to come and be laid on me? Mocking him, they left the church. So they went somewhere else where they think it is happening. So they ask him, they made up their mind they are going to adopt somebody. So they adopted a baby. And boy, as soon as they adopt this child, Sauni told him, the way you treat this child determine what God do for you. You know, some people can adopt a child and not treat the child like their own child. My friend, that is not good. Treat the child like it is your own. Of course, by the process of adoption, really, whoever gave birth to that child before have no legal right over the child. The child becomes your own. Don't pour hot water on your child. Don't pour pepper on your child. You know, there are some women who does that, you know. They'll grant pepper, pour pepper on their child, and all of those kind of crazy things that they do. My friend, don't do that. So last year, I believe it was, they were having a special program, and this man also was there. By the Spirit of God, the man said to him, he said, listen, God is about to do something in your life. I don't know details of what it is, but I'm telling you, whatever it is, there are going to be rejoicing, there are going to be gladness, there are going to be all kinds of jubilation around you. I see God doing that. He said, when it does happen, go buy a fine car and give to this person. Point to somebody else that the person should buy a car for. So they made up their mind, okay. And no sooner that happened, the woman just became pregnant. Not joke, not fibroid, not all that. You know, people can say all kinds of things. The woman gave birth sometime in July, and it was a twins baby, one boy, one girl. After 25 years. So here, look at God. God said to him, give me an offering. He was talking to a man who had no child yet. He was not talking to a man who had a child. Because if you have a child, then you have a hope of a future that, okay, this child that I have now, something will happen. I know that his future is going to be like this. But we are talking to the man who have nothing. Let's read on here. In verse number 13, I need to jump. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety, that is beyond reasonable doubt, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Ah, that's a long time, oh. This man doesn't have a child. He was not even talking about him. He was talking about his seed. 400 years. Let me tell you what. If I come to the church this morning, and I come to you and said, in 400 years to come, God is going to bless you. Won't you say, what is wrong with this pastor today? Because you know and I know you will not live up to 400 years. Are you going to live up to 400 years? My friend, your future is bigger than what you know today. It's bigger. You meet somebody, you prophesy to them and said, in 40 years, you're going to have a kind of a car that would be amazement. And you're saying, 40 years? If I add 40 to it, I never pass who go right. Must know is you can become old. You may have one or two now. You can become old, and all of a sudden, you know, they gave me a testimony. You were there now, baby. They gave a testimony yesterday. I went to, what do you call it? What do you call that village now? Where do we go yesterday? Ozeba. Had an activity to do that. So I had finished. I was coming back home. I just passed Uhomura. And you know there are about two rivers. Mainly you pass Uhomura. I was approaching the second river. I saw two women. They were walking. But I saw the clothes they wore. It looks like the clothes of those that I just left at Uzeba. So which means they were going there, and I saw a Pathfinder SUV or a Jeep, as they call them, by the side of the road, and I suspected that must be their car. They must be stranded though. So I had driven past them. I turned. When I crossed the river on the other side, I turned. I said, at least let me help them to Sabo. Then I can go back. So I got to where they were. I stopped. They were trying to tell me their story. I said, no, I'm not just coming from Benin. I passed you people. I decide to come and take you at least to the next place where you can get the vehicle, because if you are walking, it's going to be a long walk. So they enter the vehicle. But one of the women looks so familiar. I can't remember where I met her. So I turned. I said, "You look familiar." So we start talking. And she said she was Bishop Imafidon's wife of Church of God Mission. Ah! So as soon as she told me that, I said, "Oh my God, how are you, man?" We greeted again. And I felt in my heart, I couldn't have met Bishop Imafidon here and drop him where he will enter a taxi. I must take them to Zeba. So I went back to Zeba and dropped them off. And so as I was going, and I talked to the other woman whose husband was actually the one driving the car, who had gone to Sabo to look for a mechanic to fix the car. And I said, "Please call your husband." They called. I said, "Ma'am, I'm sir, don't look for a mechanic. When I get back, I'll pick you. We need to look for a towing van. You need to tow your vehicle to Benin. I don't think there's any mechanic that can fix your car, because it could be worse than you imagine." So as I took them down and I picked the man now, I brought him to Ekpoman to look for a towing van, and whatever monies that was with me, I gave to him. But in the process, he said, "That is okay. It looks like I may have dropped you." He said, "That is why we like to go with Imafidon's wife. She is a prayer warrior." He said, "As a result, the grandchild spoke with the father and mother, the daughter's child now, spoke with the parents and said, 'We must buy a car for grandma. We must buy one car for grandma.' And they just bought her an SUV and she is happy with it. Good, nice car." So what am I trying to say? You could be old and down the road, your great-grandchildren, God has blessed them, and he comes home and say, "Grandpa, grandma, or whoever, I know you can't drive no more because you are old, but you have this car and have a driver. Anywhere you want to go, the driver could take you there." You never can tell what God's intention is in for your life. So God said to Abraham, "Something is going to happen down the road. You may have nothing now, but in days to come, there will be a seed of yours that will go to a strange land, and there they will increase. They will suffer them, but when they come out of the place, it will be amazing blessing." So what happened was, don't forget again, when the story we're telling, Isaac was not born yet. Isaac was finally born. Jacob wasn't born at that time. Jacob was finally born. And Joseph wasn't born at the time. Joseph was finally born. And then there was this dream situation that caused all kinds of trouble. And there was this dream that caused all kinds of wahala. And then the boy who had the dream by the name Joseph and wanted to go and check his brother one day, they said, "All the prophecy that have been prophesied about him, we will see how they will come to pass." Listen, my friend, it wasn't Joseph's dream that was in question here. It wasn't Joseph's revelation that was, they were struggling with. It was the word that God spoke to Abraham that the devil was fighting and wanting to see what will happen if this word will come to pass. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, whatever word God have spoken about you, about me, about your children, about your business, about anything that concerns you, the Bible said, hold fast and don't waver, because the man who promised is faithful. The thing finally happened. They thought they were fighting Joseph. They sold him. And when they sold him, he became a slave. And you know one thing about slavery, though. I mean, today, slavery is still slavery. I met some people in Germany some years ago. Young lady. Incidentally, I met them in church. Because it was at the church I wanted to preach that this girl came to me and was seeking counsel. Pastor, what do I do? I'm in trouble. What's your problem? He said, is that woman and that man, her husband, that brought me here? They said to me it cost about 30,000 euro for them to bring them here. And he's been in Europe now for about 5 years. She has been working for the slave master. They never can tell her what you have worked is enough. You have paid your money. Instead, they keep saying, you don't want to pay this money. I go put pepper for your eye, and so on. And so this girl is doing all kinds of terrible job. And as soon as she finishes, the person who collect the money is them. And if they by any means see her or heard her talking with their parents and wanted to send money home, they will beat the daylight out of her because they think she owed them their life. So I talked with this girl and I called these people and I talked with her. I said, listen, God will punish you. I said, the reason he will, if you put this person in slavery, because I know what it cost to travel from Nigeria to Germany or anywhere. It doesn't cost $30,000. Euro. It only cost few hundreds of thousands of Nigeria money. And so you cannot increase these things and try to destroy the lives of this. But because when you are a slave, really, you are staying with somebody, the children of the person may be bathing to go to school. You go and sell akara first. You go and sell mama first. You go and fetch water first. You go and fetch for firewood first. You will wash clothes first before you go to school. What the rest are going, that is slavery. You have no voice. You can't eat when they are eating. You can't bath when they are bathing. My friend, that is slavery. So this boy Joseph was sold to slavery. He got there because there is a prophecy on his head that one day, as the son and great-great-grandchild of Abraham, he would dwell in the land and the land would better him. And so the boy began to do well in the home of the slave master. But you see, if he remained in Potiphar's house, he will not become what God wanted him to become. So Potiphar's wife lied against him, and instead of killing him, they put him in prison. And when they were putting him in prison, they put him in the king's prison. Hey, God is about to take you somewhere. He is about to organize situation around you that eventually you will get to the place where somebody will introduce you, someone will announce you, someone will talk about you in a positive manner, the word that will take you up in the name of Jesus. So he said, your seed will dwell in the land that is not there, where they are stranger. They will suffer there. But you know that is where we give up. The place of pain, the place of suffering, the place of persecution, the place of travail. That's where we give up. Even for ladies who are giving birth, oftentimes when it comes to delivery, the reason why some die, the reason why some don't make it, the reason why some the baby die is at the place of travail. They give up. The pain is too much. If I would die, let me die. And they will actually die. But I'm sent by God to tell you, don't give up in your place of travail. You are going somewhere. No power will stop you. No man will stop you. No witchcraft will stop you. No wizard will stop you. You will arrive there safely in the name of Jesus. So the Bible said, Hold fast. You know, oftentimes the darker it gets, the brighter the light will shine in the dark places. He said, hold fast the profession of your faith. I realize that oftentimes when God promised us something, or when man promised us something, we are very quick at talking about the thing at that moment. And after a while, when the thing delayed, we will change our talk. We begin to say, Ross, the thing they get as a bill, I don't know. Huh? So, well, now God be promise me whether I do them or not do them. I think I go endure now. No. Don't get into unbelief. Don't get into doubting. Don't get into wavering. Because the Bible said the man who wavers is like the wave of the sea. And let not that man think he would receive anything of the Lord. So I'm here to encourage you this morning, ladies and gentlemen. What you must do, according to the word of God, is to hold fast the profession of your faith. Hold it fast like your hand. I mean, your life depends on it. You know, if for any reason somebody is falling from a story building and was able to latches on something and held it, do you know he will cry for his dear life there? Mekuna come, mekuna help me, oh hey, I won't follow this. And people will really come to help the guy. Or pick up some little children who are a little bit frightened, and you try to throw them up. What do? They grab your shirt. They can't go further. And God is saying, hold fast the things that you talk about, the promises that God had made concerning you, because the Bible said he is faithful. And that is what brings me to the fact that you have to hold fast. It means whatever God promises don't come immediately like you think they would. You know, people think, if God said, have a car now, a wind will just bring the car. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes you have to walk in faith. Because Abraham, in the midst of nothing that God promised him, the Bible said when God even promised him, matter went worse. He gets older, the wife gets older, and things begin to fall apart in their life, and the man was not doing anything, not able to do anything. But the Bible said in the midst of that, he was saying, God, I still trust you. You are not a failure. You are not a disappointment. What you promise, you do. I can still depend on you. I can still trust you. I can still look up to you. You are a way. You make way when there is no way. Lord, I can still trust you. I can still depend on you. I can still follow you in the midst of nothing. He began to follow God until one day, Sarah woke up in the middle of the night and said, honey, my belly just turned me. No, no, what did happen? I did feel like vomiting. I don't know how. My belly, my body just did do me one kind. And another 3-4 months, things begin to change all around her. And they saw her. Said, what did happen? You say, I don't know. Not see the thing done, they develop it, they kick off. Hallelujah. And of course, Isaac was born. And Isaac married. And Jacob and Esau were born. And there was all kinds of struggle. You know, if you look at the life of Jacob went through all kinds of hell. So much so that Esau said, the day our father will be dead and will be buried, that day I will kill you. See, there was this fight against the promises of God, this struggle against the promise of God, this attack against the promise of God. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what attack you, it doesn't matter what pursue you, they are going to fail. The promises of God will come to pass in your life. You will fulfill destiny, you will fulfill purpose in the name of Jesus. Well, you have to come back next Sunday now. We're going to continue this thing. But I have no doubt in my mind. It doesn't matter the darkness. It doesn't matter the struggle. It doesn't matter the pain. You will come out better. Life will treat you well. I said you will come out better. Life will treat you well. In the name of Jesus. All the Bible says, all things, they work together for good to them that love him. My friend, it simply mean your rejoicing and your shouting and your jubilation is going to be more in the name of Jesus. Hold fast to God. He won't disappoint you. Let's bow our hearts. We cannot thank you enough. You are a covenant keeping God. You keep your promises. And I know you've made promises to each and everyone here. I don't know what kind of a promise, but I know you made promises to them in their business. You made promises to them on their job. You made promises to them in their family. It doesn't matter what the devil is fighting and how he's fighting, killing their baby and doing all of that and causing for abortion or miscarriage. But I know that your word will come to pass upon each of this family. I decree and declare today, whatever is the promises of God over these people, it will not be aborted. It will not fail. It will come to pass. I decree today that the word of God will speedily come to pass over their life. They will have a rejoicing. They will have a jubilation. They will have a celebration. In the name of Jesus. You are perfecting all that concerns them. You are making all right the things that the devil had destroyed around them. You are restoring life to it. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Oh, lift up your hand and just thank him. Desire of him. Whatever it is that he promised.